Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, Max Living Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Max Living Podcast. I am so excited today because we have a friend of mine on who is also even a mentor to me, whether he knows it or not. This is Dr. Sachin Patel. He's a father, husband, philanthropist. He's a functional medicine practice success coach, an international speaker, best-selling author. And I love that his philosophy is really the doctor of the future is the patient. He's actively doing whatever he can and whatever it takes to rip people out of the medical system, but empower them through self-education, self-care, remapping their mindset. Sachin, when I knew him, founded the Living Proof Institute as part of his own personal transformation, and now he coaches practitioners literally all over the world. To date, he's delivered hundreds of community workshops. He's an advocate for changing the healthcare paradigm and has devoted his entire life to the betterment of health for his patients and also the practitioners now. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome on my good friend, Sachin Patel.
Thank you, Ryan, for the wonderful introduction. And thank you, Ashley, for having me here. I did want to add something to that bio, which is notably missing, which is I am a chiropractor as well. So I bleed chiropractic, and I believe it is the greatest gift to humanity. And I'm so proud to be a chiropractor, along with all the other titles. And I'm not big on titles because I think they make us smaller than we actually are, and they confine us to what people's preconceived notions are. So I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. And I think right now the thing that I want to be known for is being an awesome, awesome father. And what that means is my family stays healthy, my family stays happy, and my family stays whole. So I love that that spills into everything else that I try to do, especially with the clients that we see and the practitioners that we train and coach. So it is my absolute honor to be here today. And I'm so glad we have this time together.
Oh my gosh, Sachin, we can stop right now. And it's so good.
I was actually looking over. I think I see a tear welling up in Ashley when you had her at
so good.
You had her at father, which is so awesome. And
absolutely. And chiropractic, I mean, it's the greatest profession on the planet. I'm not a chiropractor. I wish that I was, but it truly is. And it's just been such a gift in our life. But I mean, family is just so number one. It's such a beautiful thing, Sachin. I love it.
I purposely left that out because I knew A, you weren't big on titles, and B, I wanted to hear how you define yourself currently. And I just think that that's so cool that you even said that. So we love our fellow chiropractors too. You know, I think the neat thing about chiropractic, and you know, we can move on from this, but is that it seems like almost everyone I know that has this philosophy that you have, which we'll dive into, a lot of them either got their start by being a chiropractor or by knowing a chiropractor. Chiropractic is one of the few professions within healthcare that I know of that people really are thinking about working with the body and not trying to manipulate the body.
Yeah, you know, it's so unfortunate. I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing for the day. And that is that here we are as human beings trying to invest billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars into new discoveries and finding, you know, trying to find solutions for which the body already has solutions for. I always say that nature's already created solutions and our body's already created solutions for problems we haven't even invented or created just yet. I mean, that's how supremely intelligent we are. And that intelligence is woven into every fabric of our being. And it's quite unfortunate that people have been convinced from early on that all the answers are outside of them and not realizing that all the answers are inside of them. And so it's important that, you know, we understand that all of us can be our own doctors. In fact, all of us have that obligation in order to learn how to take the best care of ourselves as we possibly can. That's the only solution to our healthcare crisis. That is the only solution. It's not more nurses, not more doctors, not more pharmacies, not more pills. Even if it was all free, it would only make people sicker. So and if everyone volunteered, right, and the hospitals just popped up out of the ground and nobody had to pay for them, it still doesn't work. So throwing more money at this problem isn't going to fix the problem. And so it's like putting more gas in a car that's driving the wrong direction and not, you know, having the foresight to turn this ship around or turn this car around and start driving in the right direction. And even if we move slowly in the right direction, it's so much better than moving fast in the wrong direction. And I feel that chiropractors and functional medicine practitioners are so well positioned because this is what the consumer is looking for. You know, we've, of course, everyone wants a quick fix. Of course, how convenient would it be if there was a pill? But what we're realizing is health is so multidimensional that there can never be a singular solution. And that's what's beautiful about life, right? You actually have to earn it. You have to earn it each and every single day. And the healthier and longer you want to live, the more work you got to put into it. And I don't believe that the work has to be hard, but it has to be conscious. So simple things that people can do can completely transform how they live their life. And it can be passive. I mean, most people don't even breathe correctly. They take 23,000 incorrect breaths every single day and they wonder why they're tired. They wonder why they have allergies. They wonder why they have all these challenges, but they don't even breathe correctly, which is something that if you stop doing for even 5 minutes, you would not be around. So I always tell people, if you want to feel better in 30 days, change your diet. If you want to feel better in a week, drink more water. If you want to feel better tomorrow, get a good night's rest. And if you want to feel better within minutes, simply learn how to breathe. And people aren't even doing that. And so, you know, there's no need for us to invent anything fancy. There's no need for more discoveries. There's no need for more research. There's no need for more scientists. We just need to teach people how their beautiful bodies work. And if we can do that and get them doing it and show them through a short feedback loop that you are getting better, you are moving in the right direction, then amazing things can happen for humanity. It will require, however, us trusting the process of our entire economy depends on people being sick and uneducated about how to take care of themselves.
You're dropping bombs here, and I don't want to let each one of them go. I don't want to let each one of them go. I want you to elaborate on a couple of these. So, you know, talking about BJ Palmer, you know, a chiropractor, right? Founder in the chiropractic profession, talked about innate intelligence, the doctor within. And really, I mean, what you're saying is our job is the doctor's already in there. Our body has already, developed the capacity to solve these problems that haven't even came about yet, is the language you use. That's so awesome. So our job really is to get on the side of innate intelligence and figure out how to work with the body's infinite wisdom.
Absolutely.
You said going in the wrong right direction slowly is better than going in the wrong direction quickly. I can't let that one go. What are you doing right now to speed up going in the right direction? Because we don't want to, we've been going it slow a long time. I mean, even chiropractic, like by now the world should, you know, basically accept chiropractic care. The world should basically accept nutrition, but it's not happening. So what can we do to speed that up right now?
Yeah, I think part of it is the definition of chiropractic, because many people's definition of chiropractic can vary. And sometimes a title, like I said, reduces things down in people's minds. So when somebody says the word chiropractor, they must instantly think back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, joint pain, physical pain. However, they don't realize that the chiropractor is the best positioned practitioner in the entire community. Even a bad one is better positioned in the community to actually align with what they actually want. And so chiropractic is how we eat, it's how we move, it's how we think, it's the environment that we put ourselves in. And it's working with our hands, it's working with our heads, being smart about it, and working with our hearts. And if we can find practitioners that kind of align with that philosophy, that's exactly what people are looking for. But if we reduce chiropractic down to its insurance definition, then it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, out the door. And that's what people expect. And because that's what they expect, they don't realize that that person, they don't need to have that problem for that person to actually help them. And we have this very reactive mindset when it comes to health, right? We don't have this reactive mindset anywhere else, but we have it when it comes to our health. And we have this preventive model of health. I don't like that. What I want is a vitalistic mindset. I want people to reach for what their potential is, not wait until they get cancer and then learn how to eat, not wait until they have diabetes and realize they have to exercise. What if they were doing those things their entire life? What would the potential of that human being be instead of being pruned constantly because of their bad choices? It's like a tree that never gets to grow to its fullest potential because we don't give it the right environment and we keep trimming and pruning the branches as it's trying to reach for the sky. So I think first it starts with what is the definition of chiropractic and what is the public perception? Because people may not even know to turn to this profession in the first place. Whenever I tell people, whenever I start talking to people, everything I do in my practice, even as a functional medicine practitioner, is grounded in chiropractic philosophy. what I've done is I've used modern technology, such as wearable devices, and really getting people to shift their perception of what they're capable of, and then using the lifestyle principles of chiropractic, how we eat, how we move, how we think, you know, the conditions we put ourselves in, the way we talk to ourselves, the community that we hang around with. All of those things are facets to this diamond that need to be polished if we want amazing health, which means that if you just...
And I would say one of the things that we hang our hat on in chiropractic that I think is everything you're speaking to is interference, removing interference, right? So like it is about eating. It is about doing those things. But when you eat the right things, you're not eating the wrong things. So there's less interference, right? And so the biggest chiropractic principle when it comes to the actual adjustment is the only reason the adjustment works isn't because we're moving something. It's not because we're stimulating something. It's because when you put that motion in, that vertebra moves, ideally what should be happening is interference is being taken away, right? You're removing interference. And so that principle of removing interference really is getting in alignment.
Yes.
And I think that's like, when you say we're grounded in chiropractic philosophy, that's it right there is, you know, getting in alignment is the idea of creating a situation where there's less interference.
And one thing I want to add to that is removing interference, but adding awareness. So it's one thing to, you know, add air into somebody's tire in their car, but that doesn't make them a better driver. So
I wish it did. So,
yeah, exactly. Right. Even buying that person a brand new car doesn't make them a better driver. So there's a certain skill set and awareness that we have to have. So I'll give you a simple example. One is diet, right? So we all know that we should probably be eating as healthy as we possibly can, right? And there's varying definitions, and that could be bio-individualized. We won't get into that, but let's talk about something really simple. I had a lady call me. She had gastroparesis. So this is where the stomach essentially becomes paralyzed. Your digestive system shuts down, right? It goes into a state of paresis. And so I asked her, she's getting all this testing done and all these things. And I said, well, tell me how you eat. And she said, well, I eat super, super healthy. You know, I eat organic. I'm gluten-free. I'm this, that. I'm like, no, tell me how you eat. And then she had to pause because she eats standing up, trying to get her kids fed, running from the stovetop to the kitchen table in fight or flight the entire time. And I said, well, you're eating healthy, but the state in which you're eating is actually not matched with your nervous system. So right now you're sending blood to your arms and legs because your body's in fight or flight or perceived as being in fight or flight. And so you're taking 80% of your blood flow away from your digestive system. I expect you to have gastroparesis. I expect you to have dysfunctional digestive, you know, dysfunctional digestive system, because when you eat, you should be slowing down. You should be chewing your food. You should be getting into a parasympathetic state. You should have gratitude. You're not doing any of those things. All you've done is change your diet. So you've changed the fuel, but you haven't changed how you're driving. And she started doing that immediately. And she messaged me the other day and she's already feeling better. So she could have gone to a million different people, but none of them would have told her that. They would have just, even if they asked a diet question, they wouldn't have asked how she was eating. They would have asked what she was eating. And then they would move on from that conversation. So it's removing the interference is important, but adding awareness and knowledge and actually helping people understand, well, my mouth has teeth for a reason. It's not for that pretty smile. It's to grind up the food, especially plant matter, for me to unlock the nutrition that my digestive system doesn't have the enzymes to digest through the cell walls to access. So simple things like that make all the difference in the world. And in fact, something as simple as making stomach acid, right? Many people take digestive enzymes, but if they were to actually chew and taste their food and give their body enough time, they would make enough digestive enzymes. That's exactly what your stomach and your pancreas and your gallbladder are supposed to do. That's one of their only functions. So, and they make it in the exact ratio that's necessary based on what you're eating. Most people, they inhale their food. They don't even taste it. They don't even give their body a chance to determine what's the ratio of fats, carbohydrates, and proteins that we need to make this, you know, sludge to digest it.
Yeah.
So good, Sasha. Your pancreas is hanging out trying to do the job.
I don't know.
You just got to let it do it.
You got to let it do the job. I don't. Do you know Dan Sullivan?
I do, yeah.
Dan Sullivan talks frequently about that. We just had him on a few weeks ago talking about nursing and just the signaling that happens between saliva and breast tissue and what that, you know, he was going through the whole science of it. But the same thing is true. Like when we chew food, the receptors and you know, what our saliva, the chemical reaction that's actually happening between our saliva and the food we chew and the bolus we're forming in our mouth is literally signaling our intestines and our stomach and whatever to let it know what's on the way. And so just that intentionality of it. But people, again, this goes back to awareness. They won't do it if they don't know it. If they don't know, but you literally almost have to be, study physiology to really appreciate the body. And unfortunately, we weren't nobody's born and then raised and is coached on this stuff, because that would require their parents even knowing it, first of all. Half the time, your parents are like, chew your food, slow down, and there's no...
Or finish your food, and you were talking about this lately, Sachin, hurry up. Don't hurry your kids up.
Yeah, and think about how little time school gives kids to eat their meal, right? So they're trying to pack in, conversations, community, connection, and trying to eat, and you're just like, before you know it, the time runs out. So we're actually conditioning kids from a very young age, unfortunately, to either eat too much or eat too fast.
All right. So I have to ask you a question here, because you wrote the book recently, Perfect Practice. This book is geared, I'm assuming, so please correct me. It sounds, just from the title, because I have not picked up a copy of it yet, and I need one.
Hint.
That it's geared towards the practitioner, or is it geared towards the patient?
So it's actually, yeah. So the Perfect Practice specifically is written for a practitioner. So it gives them, the best practices and strategies to build their practice with love. So it's kind of a twist on a conventional business book, and it's written in a very easy to follow format for practitioners. We do have also a book that we've written for our clients as well. So our patients, actually my wife and I wrote it together. It's called Healing Habits. And in that book, we kind of walk through some of the awareness that people need to have in order for them to leverage this $1 billion body that they have.
$1 billion body. That's so good.
It is good. I want to finish this thought, because this is like, so you're taking massive action right now on educating healthcare professionals to have this type of practice. They, in turn, and yourself, are also educating patients to have more understanding and awareness of how their $1 billion body works. And then how does that, because really, if we go back to it, down to like mom and dad at the dinner table, teaching like why you should chew your food more appropriately. And this goes back to what you said in the beginning, is one of your goals is to be a really good father. How does this trickle down, so to speak? So you're working up, at the head of this, trying to change practice for practitioners and trying to change life for patients. In our everyday lives, how do myself as a patient, how do myself as someone who's, practicing this way of life? Because I know you do it, Wim Hof, grounding, journaling, fitness challenges, like you do this stuff. That's why I think it's so, when you say it, it comes with such authority, is because I don't think anybody questions, your practice and what you do in your daily life. How does that get down to families? How does that get down to the general person? How do we transform this over time?
Yeah. First of all, I want to be very transparent. I am by no means perfect. And not that you're implying that, but I want to make that very clear, because not every day goes as we might envision in our minds, right? Life happens. And so I want to give everyone else permission not to have to be perfect, but I do my best in every single moment under whatever the circumstances are. And that's all we can ask of people. One of the things that we found to accelerate this journey forward for people is profound simplicity. How can I keep it as simple as possible? And how can I give people ways, not just the person who's going through the process a way, but also the practitioner a way to monitor and track progress with a short feedback loop?
So I want to talk about a couple of things that I've witnessed over time. And then because I have several of them here, and you can give me this is the fire round. So, you don't have to elaborate crazy, but I want to hear where you found value in these things. Because again, I think the way you think is so neat, and it, neat meaning like tidy, clear, concise, yeah. So I just want to hear your thoughts on some of this. And I went through them earlier, but like Wim Hof training.
Yeah. So actually my breathwork journey starts with a Wim Hof training that I did with my breathwork mentor and friend, Giovanni Bartolomeo. And he was the first Wim Hof instructor in Canada. So we went to a training that he was hosting. A friend of mine, Jordan, actually took me there, or invited me and a couple of buddies, and I went. And it was like an introductory class, but by the end of it, we were in this little kiddie pool in the middle of February in Bolton, Ontario. It was pretty cold that day, and it's filled with ice, and we have to get in there for 60 to 90 seconds. And I had never done anything like that before, but it was so invigorating and so primal because everyone there was like cheering you on. It was like such a great feeling. It's kind of like what CrossFit feels like, you know. It's like you've got all these people that are rooting for you, but you're in there for your own, you know, kind of own development, developmental process. So that kind of kicked me off. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years, I took something called the Elemental Rhythm Breathwork Experience. I went through a breathwork experience, which is I would parallel with a psychedelic experience. However, you get there through specific breathing techniques. And then I became a facilitator of that process. And so now I start all of my events with breathwork. I get invited all over the place to host breathwork trainings because it's so powerful, and people have their own kind of spiritual experience when they go through this process. It takes about 60 to 90 minutes, and it's amazing what proper breathing can do. And then of course that's like more of a once in a while type of experience, but proper breathing technique has become part of, you know, our education and the training that we give to practitioners and our clients as well.
I've been wondering this since you said it from the beginning, because this whole time I'm like, am I breathing right? So what is there? Okay. So I feel like this is probably, I mean, you said 60 to 90 minutes in a class. There's probably a lot of depth that you go into it. Is there something like, I mean, is there anything you can give us?
Ashley skipped our Wim Hof experience.
We had a friend, Cameron Maynard, who brought in
on the podcast. Yeah. He was the first Wim Hof trainer in the US, and he came and did an entire thing with us. And what blew me away wasn't getting in the water. It was
the breath work.
The breath work. And I literally, in an ambient temperature room of, you know, whatever it was, like I felt my body go into cold and hot all within, you know, a 25 minute period. And that's what blew me away. That was pretty cool stuff.
But Sachin, don't worry, because I did miss out on the first breath work experience, but Dr. Cameron was kind enough to invite us to his house and surprise us with another breath work class. and I got in on that one.
It was
nice.
So it was good.
You know what I'll do? I'll send you a video. There's a completely guided video that I do, and it walks you through. It's set to beautiful music. There's a meditation. There's an intention setting. I'll send that over to you guys. You can put on your headphones and do it. And that's all you need to do. And
can we link it for these guys too? Like, is it something that we can link for the, okay, yep. Awesome.
You're killing my fire round over
Sorry.
Here. So the next one was grounding.
Yeah. So human beings are the only animals that wear shoes, right? And it's like when we're in nature, we're still disconnected. We've got this thin layer of rubber or our soul that still kind of keeps us separated. So grounding is something that I love doing. It keeps me grounded, so to speak, and which is getting our bare feet into the earth. I mean, I don't even care what the science says. The science is very powerful in this, in our favor. However, it just feels good. Right. And isn't that what life is all about? It's our nervous system has many, many functions. One of them is to tell us when something is wrong. The other one is to tell us when something is right. So what feels good is often what's right for us. So getting in the grass, it doesn't have to be bare feet. It could just be when you go for a walk, sit down and put your hands in the grass.
I prefer the sand with water rushing over it, if that's okay.
that's the holy grail, right? If you can get to a beach. Or even running water is very powerful as well, if you can get your feet into running water. So there's an electron exchange that takes place, and we are electrical beings and we are light beings. So it's important for us to, you know, create that exchange with the earth. And you can buy grounding shoes. You can buy grounding sandals. You can buy grounding mats. I've got one on my desk right here. So it's a mat that plugs into the ground outlet in my house. And it's amazing. We actually have ways of measuring this. And you can see when I put my hand on the mat, my electrical charge in my body instantly changes.
Wow. And that's awesome.
And you're probably getting outside in the winter though and grounding anyway, but that's just something you have inside.
So yeah, there's things that you can have inside. So you can be grounding all the time. And then of course we can get outside and definitely grounding in the winter is more challenging, but just as necessary. In fact, probably more necessary.
All right. Journaling.
Yeah. You know what? You know, one of the things I've recently invested in is a Remarkable.
I have one. I love it.
I love it because I can, you know, take it with me wherever I go. I don't need to have multiple journals. So I've got a gratitude journal in here. And one of my friends, Andrew Kaplan, wrote a book. It's called The Last Law of Attraction Book You'll Ever Need. And in that book, he talks about writing yourself, instead of just having gratitude, like saying, I'm grateful for these things. He talks about second and third order thinking when it comes to gratitude. So I might say first order thinking is I'm grateful for my wife, right? Second order thinking would be I'm grateful for my wife because she made me this wonderful coffee so I can have during our meeting. And then the next would be, I'm grateful for my wife for making me this wonderful coffee, because what's in this coffee is promoting my health and wellness, which allows me to be a better father, show up better in my day. So we're now adding layers to that gratitude instead of just superficially listing things that we're grateful for. Allows us to sink more into that state, and we can start connecting the dots of why we're actually grateful. And then, you know, that should lead to you telling that person if you can, right? So I'll be sure to tell my wife later today, thank you for that coffee. It supported me and helped me, and I felt energized because of it. So letting people know and closing that loop, I think, is also very powerful when you can, right? Sometimes you might be grateful for something that is circumstantial and you can't really express your gratitude to it. It might be your bed sheets, right? But if it's a person, write them a letter, send them an email, right? Tell them if you can. And that I found is really, really powerful as well.
It's awesome. So good. And we've talked about this before, that unexpressed gratitude can sometimes be perceived as ungratefulness, as, you know, like you're ungrateful. And we've talked about it before. I mean, we heard it in a sermon a long time ago about, you know, the 10 leopards and one of them, not leopards, lepers. That was a whole different story.
The 10 lepers and the one, yes. Only one returned to express gratitude in the biblical story that, and it was interesting because you asked the general public after hearing that story what they think about the other nine. It's like, oh, they were ungrateful. It's like, well, he healed them also. I'm sure they were grateful. They just didn't express it, but we perceive them in that story as being ungrateful, which is, it's powerful.
Unexpressed gratitude.
Yeah.
So good.
That's good. Fitness challenges. So I'm going to give you a cue on this one. I personally have seen the picture, shirt off, you know, what you did before before 40, getting in some pretty incredible shape. Talk to me about fitness. Why is it important?
Well, you know, our bodies are meant to move, right? They're meant to do work. They're meant to support others. They're meant for us to be there when somebody needs to move or when somebody needs some help putting some furniture together. So there's so much that our body is capable of and so much that it needs to be doing. And it's important for us to move. And what I love encouraging people to do is find something called joyful movement. So what is it that you love doing? What is it that you look forward to? Not just how you're going to feel afterwards, but you actually look forward to it. So for me, joyful movement is landscaping. I love spending time in my yard. It's one of those few areas in life where you can instantly see the fruits of your labor. And it's something that, you know, you get to be really present to. And it brings me into that present moment. So I focus on movement that allows me to be present to the activity. It allows me to physically move my body in a functional way, in a way that serves me and something that produces a result. So I always had this idea. Imagine you had a gym membership, where instead of going to a gym and lifting weights, you went to a construction site and you built a house.
It's so good.
Right?
Yeah. breaking up concrete and mixing cement and...
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that, you know, where there's like, holy smokes, I built that, right? Or a group of us got together and we exercised and we did something productive and functional. I mean, if my neighbors let me, I would go and cut all their lawns.
It's right? So
because
good,
it's exercise for me and I love it. It brings me present. It saves them the trouble of having to do it. And, you know, it checks off all the boxes for me. So
and your neighbors love you.
I think,
and your neighbors love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, your neighbors love you as well. Yeah, right. So I mow my neighbor's yard. His front yard is like way bigger than mine. He's got this huge side yard. And I mow the whole thing for him because I can imagine he doesn't like doing it. And I actually enjoy doing it. And so that is exercise for me, is movement for me. And it keeps me fit. And it's a way for me to express my gratitude using my physical body. Right? When we exercise, is it just us that's benefiting, or is there a collateral benefit that's taking place as well from that movement that we have something to show for?
Sajan, it's just next level.
It's always next level.
It's always next level thinking. And we've laughed about this so many times before, of like, you get home from the gym and you're so exhausted that you feel like you can't even do the essential things at your house. Yeah. And you're like, what am I doing right
there is
now?
There's a principle that's written on the wall at my gym. And I do agree with it, but it's funny that you're bringing a different balance into it. It says on the wall of my gym, it's a Mark Rippetoe quote that says, human beings are not physiologically normal in the absence of hard physical work, that we're designed to work. The biblical principle is that in 6 days we're supposed to work and one we're supposed to rest, you know, and there's even some interesting things there. Like God, if the biblical story, God created the world and then rested on day seven, He created man on day six. So man actually started from rest, right? So like God worked to rest, but man rested to work. And I just love that idea. But I do believe that we are designed to do hard things.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's what I'd say to add to that, if I may. So I believe that we are meant to do hard work, but what we are more meant to do is to grow. And it requires hard work outside of our comfort zone in order for that growth to take place. I have a home gym. I lift weights. So for me, that also brings me joy. But I know that's not joyful for everyone, right? My wife loves yoga. So that brings her joy, makes her feel good, makes her feel present. And it allows her to, you know, express her body. She also loves going for a bike ride. So, you know, that's the one thing I can say. If I said, hey, let's go lift weights, she'll probably find an excuse not to. But if I said, hey, let's go for a bike ride, she's all in. She's like, okay, I'll get the helmets. So you've got to really find what brings you joy, because you're much more likely to do that and pursue it. And if that movement also creates some form of productivity for you outside of just helping you, then it just adds some bonus points to the scoreboard.
Okay. I know we got to wrap up here in a second, but talk to me then about the person who sometimes people overcome that. Like sometimes they find joy in something they previously didn't like. We used to see that in the gym all the time. People would come in and they're like, oh, I've never liked working out. I can't work out alone. I go to the gym. I don't even enjoy the gym. But then like CrossFit, there was something unique with community or whatever. Like, is there, you know, just because we don't like it doesn't mean it's not good for us, right? Like there's an element of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always believe that you should try something a few times before you pass judgment on it. So, you know, we've experimented personally with so many different types of movement. I like mixing things up. Like I went rock climbing for my son's birthday. So that was like really exciting for me. We go bike riding. We have a pool. So we go swimming. We go hiking in the woods behind our home. So we try to mix things up as much as we can. So it becomes part of our lifestyle. Here's the one thing that is super important is community, right? So there's a huge component and a missing component to our lifestyles these days, because many of us lack a supportive community, right? People that are your coworkers, that may not be your community. There's a word in Sanskrit called satsang. Sat is truth and sang is fellowship. So many people who are coming to that CrossFit gym or, you know, wherever that gathering is taking place, they're seeking truth and they're to the highest order and they're seeking fellowship. They want to connect with people who are on a similar journey as each other. And we can find this in church. We can find this in the CrossFit gym. We can find this in breathwork classes. People love it, not just for what they're doing, but who they're doing it with and the space that you're creating for them as well, because not all experiences are the same, right? So what I want to honor both of you for doing is creating a sacred space for that person to enjoy working out. And that does require some acknowledgement for you guys to be able to do that and turn people over, because there's people that have horrible experiences, right? And they hate going to the gym because maybe they're body shamed or maybe because they don't know what to do and nobody's helping them and supporting them. So the fact that you've created that camaraderie, communication, collaboration, and community is so worth honoring as well.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Sachin. We want to honor you.
Yeah, we were like in closing, we're like, all right, we got to turn this around and then hear your, oh boy, man, I wish we could just keep doing this. You're enjoyable to talk to. You're very enjoyable to listen to. I love hearing, like even just your thoughts, that throwing out Wim Hof and all this stuff, and just to hear your perspective on those things it's always really neat, because you think differently, and you bring a lot of value because of the way you think. And even just like you started off talking about your son Devin, right?
Yes,
Devin, and your wife is Deepa.
Correct.
Is that? And you brought both of them into this, like with the coffee and I want to be a good father and rock climbing with your son. Like your values come out. Like what's so interesting is you're so authentic that when you talk about these things, you can just really feel your heart behind them. And I just really think that is your authenticity is a big part of your success. And I just want to tell you that as a friend,
thank
as
you.
A colleague, as it, you wear it, you don't just wear it on your sleeve. Like it's everywhere. It's all over
so
you.
Good.
And, it's just really easy to pick up on.
Sachin, if our audience wants to find you, where do we find you at?
social media. I share lots of content on Facebook for free. We've got a community as well, and I can share the links with all of you. And then we also created a complimentary 30-day program for our clients, and it's basically walks them through 30 of our best tips. And that the link for that is 30and30.org, 30in30.org. So it shares simple, practical tips that are aligned with many of the teachings that I know Maximize Living provides. And it's just simplified in a strategic way for them to learn something little that they can do every single day to move towards better health.
That's awesome.
If any of those practitioners that you work with are ever looking for a chiropractor, we would be honored with Max Living to take care of patients. And I think it's neat that now our doctors will get to hear some of your, you know, thoughts and what you teach your practitioners, so that when people do walk in the door and there is this, you know, collaboration that we know who we're working with because our values are so similar. And I just really, really appreciate that and want to encourage our doctors to be receptive to that when they come in, because they're already starting off with a lot more information and a lot more knowledge than what the average person is coming into their office. That's so awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Lots of love to both of you and so much gratitude and appreciation.
Likewise, buddy. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. For more health tips and tricks, be sure to follow us on our social media at Max Living Official on Instagram and at Max Living on Facebook.